Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Joel Alkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Joel, let's start off with some of the moves in commodities. There's a lot for us to talk about today, and again, it is just the start of this trading week, but I know there are some of those traders out there saying that this is the start of a big turn. Now, I shy away from those comments because well, I feel like I've heard it over and over again, and it hasn't been a big change in the markets. But hey, we'll get into all of that. Let's start off with crude, though, because oil was on a run, has been on a run. A little bit of weakness today, a bit off of its highs. The highs around 76 and change. Well, crude's down now to about 73.50. So a bit of a pullback here, but still, you look at the chart in crude, and it has been strong except for the month of March. What's your takeaway here, Joel, from at least the crude market?
OPEC. Good afternoon, Corey and Shad. Thanks for having me today. I'm glad to be here. Won't be here next week, but I'll give you 2 weeks worth of information in 1 week. Crude, I mean, OPEC's running the show. And, you know, they came out and they canceled the meetings. It freaked everybody out. Crude does what crude does, and it just rips people's heart out. You make a new high for the move at 76.98, and then people start thinking, well, if they're not going to, you know, cut back, maybe we'll start greasing the pumps here. The frackers are getting ready to go. So I think whether it's OPEC or the United States, I think you're going to get more supply online. The demand certainly is there. Today, if you're looking at it from a technical perspective, it's not a good day at all. You're over $3 off the high. And what I noticed after it started to pull back was, you know, in the 75 handle, that it couldn't regain that it had the high close for the move, which was at 75.24. So, yeah, got to be a more bearish on crude than I am the stock market. Gold. I know, I'm bullish at 1900, bearish at 1750, but this time I hung on, and you're getting a pop here. You had the undercut and rally. I think for your technicians out there, you should look at the way silver behaved during that little breakdown, because silver held up much better. Can we get back over 1800? Now it's the battle for 1800, and then it's the battle for 1850. So you put in that low, 1750, cleared out the people that were leaning on the 1765, and you're back up. You did hit 1815 today, back under 1800, up 1050 at 1793.80.
Well, Joel, after coming off of a long weekend for most traders, whether it's in Canada or the U.S., and most people taking time to travel and spend time with family, to come back to the markets today and to see a lot of the main indexes down, most of the commodities down, but the dollar up, gold up, and bonds up, do you think there's a slight hesitation possibly going into earnings season or just in the markets in general where people are putting on a safety play today, or is it just a one-day blip?
A combination of the things that you just said. Number one, I don't know if I've discussed this on the show, the old Friday, Monday indicator. You know, you close on the high on Friday, you make a new high for the week. And I mean, it also works on the downside, but we never close on the low for the week. And you like to see that early trading action to see, are we just going to continue? Seven new days of all-time highs, seven new days of all-time closing highs. And I'm not talking about incremental, you know, I'm talking about 10, 15, 20, 25-point moves in the S&Ps for on a closing basis for a new all-time high. That happened probably five out of the 7 days. That's unusual. So if you put all the trading together, the Friday, Monday theory, there was no Monday, but trading started on Sunday. They couldn't get through Friday's high, 43.47 in the index. They popped it over 43.48, started trading Sunday at 6 p.m. and now Monday till noon, and then they resume at 6 p.m. So you get a little technicians thinking double top, And then you really failed miserably off the open at the close, the all-time closing high. So a little bit technical. Earnings season starts next week. Just a little bit of profit taking. For me, I'm not running and hiding under my desk yet.
Joel, when it comes to the pullback in oil, pullback in commodities broadly, is this telling you that the inflation trade is dying, or at least a pullback in that inflation trade? Maybe that got a little too overheated as well.
That's what Pump and Powell's saying, you know. So if that's what Pump and Powell's saying, then must be true. I mean, that's definitely the crude, the gold being reflected of it. Lumber's come off. I mean, some of these, was it just, what Powell said? Was it just, okay, you shut down, production of, cotton mills and farming and transportation, and then you have that kind of bottleneck, and then all of a sudden you reopen the world, right? So is supply going to catch up with demand? I mean, I think with one interesting thing about, the like the bean complex and stuff, you have to pay more attention to, the weather could be a factor, but they're all coming in, and, some more than others. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if it puts a death knell in the trade. You look at your TLT. Which is reflected 20-year treasury bond mimics the 30-year bond. I mean, they're laughing at inflation. They're laughing at interest rates going up. That thing's up $1.50 today. And also, I think you just have to look at the price action in the banks. The banks, it's predicated a lot of the move, higher interest rates, inflation. Banks are going the wrong way. So, yeah, that inflation trade's coming off for sure. Now I really want to sell my gold. But anyways, actually, silver went negative here. Holy Toledo. But yeah, I agree. The economy's humming along. You're starting to get more supply online to meet the demand, and prices are going down. Classic economics.
Well, Joel, what do you think about the dollar continuing to rise a little bit, though? I mean, I'm sure that's pressuring commodities to some degree, but we're also seeing a sell-off in a lot of the general indexes today, too. So I just wonder how it all balances out. We're seeing even hot sectors selling off today. So it just seems like maybe there's more trepidation, yet the dollar continues to keep running higher. So do you think that that's a reflection of an underlying feeling about what the Fed is doing or about the strength in the U.S. markets, or is there a dichotomy here?
I just think I think we could try and look in at, on a daily basis and come up with specific reasons for things. But you know what? The dollar's been killed, right? And maybe it still is in a major downtrend. But you know what? When you have, you have to kind of throw out the March price action just because of the, unusual volatility. But I mean, it's been selling off since April of last year, over a year decline. So, just cyclical. I mean, that would go against my argument for inflation and higher rates, but I just think, just moving money around. I don't know if it's a start of a great bull trend in the market, but to me, it's just, there's always counter moves, and whether or not the counter move turns into a new trend, you have to use, whatever technical indicators you rely on for that. But to me, it's just a little rebound, and we'll see if the dollar's turned around officially. I think you do need some higher rates in order to continue this strength in the dollar.
Yeah, you are right, though, Joel, about the whole rotation of money. And that has been the continued theme. And who knows, maybe we're getting a bit more of a rotation into a defensive trade. But boy, oh boy, June was not that. It was way more aggressive in the risk on trade. What about these U.S. equity markets? They are showing some weakness broadly. Each one of them are down today. We get a lot of those bearish calls saying this is the start of a big turn and a big problem. Where do you stand when it comes to the weakness that at least we're seeing today in the markets?
You try to get me bearish, Corey. Come on now. I'll just look at it technical, from a technical basis, and I'll give you parameters on the upside. I mean, we're 40 handles off that those highs from Friday and the true high today. So you got some work to do. So the longer it takes to get back up to that level, I think right now the path of least resistance is lower. On a weekly basis, you know, you just got above 4,300, which was just a nice round number. Sometimes the market blinks there. It didn't. So I think you go back, you at least test 4,300. It's not too big of a call since it's at 4,309. But I think you start to work, into your range from last week. And my weekly number that I like to figure is down to 4,285. So that's another 30 handles away. So I favor the downside until that area. See if you get a pause or a hold at that area. And then you can continue there. If you start, taking out that weekly number, and then you start to take out the weekly low, then, my concern, will go higher. But, right now it is a turn, whether it's the big kahuna, as Sanford used to say in Sanford and Son, but you guys are too young to remember that TV show. Plus it was American. And I'll say this again, I probably have said it 100 times, doing the show with you and Shad now. I mean, if you've met your investment goals and you are looking to retire and you're, and this is where you're at, then you just got to look at the market and be able to take profits or move money around and not worry about it. If you're young bucks like you guys, you got a few years to work, then, it's a buy the dip. I don't know if this is the dip to buy, but I think you got to keep your longer term, investment horizon on. But I'm kind of old and I'm kind of thinking of retiring, but my wife won't let me sell. So I got to stay in the market.
Joel, what about that environment that we had for these markets, though, where it was really boring to the upside? It was day after day that these markets just kept pushing to new highs. And it wasn't massive moves, but it was pretty significant. You look at that short-term chart and boy, oh boy, the last couple of weeks, the markets just climbed higher. There was nothing special about it other than it was up day after up day. Almost reminiscent of 2017. However, 2017, that went on for a year. What do you take away from just that nature heading into today's trading where the markets were seemingly up every single day?
2017, the ranges were much more compact, and it was just going, up, ching, ching, ching. The moves that you've had last week, those were big moves. They weren't incremental moves. So I think you're in a little bit more, I can't make a parallel between those two environments just because of the velocity of the up move. It's been so much more violent. And when you have violent moves on the upside, you have violent moves on the downside. So I don't think this is the same environment as we were in 2017.
Well, Joel, I want to respond to two things you brought up. One, the Stanford and Sons comment. I used to watch Fred Stanford sell his wife, who had passed away 20 years older. Elizabeth, I'm coming. So I did watch the show. And secondly, you brought up your wife and her trading. And we discussed off mic that she may be a better trader than you are lately when we were discussing Amazon. Do you want to discuss Amazon and what's going on with it as kind of the leader of the tech stocks?
Well, this one is one. I mean, this one that I turned out to be right on, and she was a little bit lukewarm. The reason that she's a better is because she never sells. And I think I've told you what she says. She loves her stocks when they go up because she makes money, and she loves them when they go down so she can buy more. So, Amazon. I looked at this thing and it's been in an 11-month trading range. Okay. While the market has just went gangbusters, Amazon has gone between 3,000 and 3,500, 3,000, 3,500, 11 months. So I was looking at it from a technical basis and I'm thinking, sometimes you don't like to anticipate a breakout. But sometimes it's good because if you get the break, because I'm looking at this as a longer term position, And I wanted to be in ahead of the breakout at 35.50 in case, you know, something happens with earnings, right? So today, I don't know if it was the Barron's article, but take a look at that chart. 11-month consolidation. So the longer the consolidation phases are, once you finally break out, boom. Also, you have, you know, the headwinds. I don't know if they're going to – how they're going to do in the race to space. But I think they're, you know, I just – that's not directly related to the company. But you see what Virgin Galactic has done off some of its news. And, you know, Katie barred the door. And I have no idea of knowing this. But if they ever split that stock, then you shorts better get the hell out of the way because that thing's going to run. So – just a couple different factors, and now I'll have to wait for it to come back down to the place that I wanted it to break out from at 35.50. But look at that chart. That's good homework. And you know, looking at a consolidation period, using something as a trading range, and then maybe, you know, anticipating it, you know, before it breaks out of the range, so you got a little cushion on it. But yep, that's. And it was yesterday, man. We were in – was it yesterday we were in the car? Yeah, yesterday we were in the car discussing it. So I don't know. You know, sometimes you get them right. Sometimes you get them wrong.
Good lesson there, Joel. That's what we're going to stick to. But, hey, some interesting moves to start this week. Let's see how it all plays out. Again, we're only a few hours into trading, and I know a lot of people jumping on the whole maybe turn, change in direction, but – again, let's see how it plays out just through today and the rest of this week. Joel, great chatting with you, buddy. We're going to miss you next week, but we'll chat again in another couple weeks. Have a great trip.
Okay, thank you, guys.